Welcome all podcast listeners. I'm speaking with Jim Groom from University of Mary Washington, who has offered to speak about one of his projects as one of the four case studies in the Mozilla Open Education course. And we're going to look at this case study from three different perspectives throughout the course. One is open licensing, one is open technology, one is open pedagogy. But today we're just having a general chat about the project, and Jim's going to tell us a little about it so that everyone can listen to this in preparation for the first seminar. So, yeah, without further ado, Jim, do you want to just tell us what the project is about and how you came up with the idea?
Yeah, absolutely, Philip. Thank you. The project is really just an open source blogging platform for the University of Mary Washington. We've actually gotten away from the idea of a blogging platform and called it an open publishing platform because it's not only used for blogging, it's used for a whole kind of array of things. And the group that works on it is our group here at the University of Mary Washington called the Division for Teaching and Learning Technologies. And we've been actually experimenting with these tools for probably 3 or 4 years now. And we've been iterating out. We've had all these like simple one-off, WordPress accounts, MediaWiki accounts, all open source stuff that we've been playing with in our own little Bluehost accounts, which cost us like $7 a month. And I think after a certain point, we started to have some real success with weblogs and wikis in particular on campus that we tried a WordPress multi-user install. Now, WordPress multi-user is just basically one blogging platform that can hold up to as many as 200,000, 300,000 individual blogs. So we actually decided to go that route, and for about $30 a month for the first year, we experimented with this kind of blogging platform, this open source blogging platform on campus, where anyone could get a blog on campus as long as they had a UMW email, and they could do it and use it for whatever they wanted. We had faculty who used it for courses. We had students who used it for websites. We had people who used it for documentation sites. Other people used it as personal journals. I mean, there's a whole wide array of things that people used it for. Well, one of the things I think that's fun, and that I'll probably talk about most as we get into this, is this idea of how syndication really changed the way we've thought about this space as not only a blogging platform owned and operated by the University of Mary Washington, but more as a kind of syndication bus. Now, what I mean when I talk about this idea of a syndication bus is that we've used a whole series of plugins that were developed by other people. We have very little development inside. We really have one person of the five who kind of writes code, and he's doing a lot of stuff with Semantic Web. His name is Patrick Murray-John. But what we're actually doing is we're using freely available code that people have created on their own to kind of cobble together, I think, what is a pretty sophisticated syndication system. Now, what does this mean? Well, let me take you through this because this is probably the heart of what it is. So say you have a blog on UMW Blogs. You're doing your blogging there. Well, every individual blog on this system has its own feed, meaning that we can take all the posts from around the entire environment and feed them back into one space to kind of make visible the work going on. Well, one of the issues that came up is, well, what if someone doesn't want to use our blogging platform? What if someone wants to use their blog on Blogger, on their blog on Drupal, their blog on WordPress.com, their own WordPress blog they host? Why do we need to get a UMW blog? Well, one of the pushes of this division, I think, from the very beginning was allow people to do their own work in their own space. Don't make it that they have to come and be part of our system. Well, thinking along those lines, we used a series of plugins. One of them is called Site-Wide Tags Pages plugin, and it's a terrible name, but it's an awesome plug. And then another one is a syndication plugin called Feed WordPress. And what's really cool about this, and there's a third little widget we use that's called Add Link by Andre, who was developed by Andre Mollin at UBC. And I'll leave links to all this, so don't worry too much about the details. But what allowed, with these three, this combination of three plugins, we were allowed to set up in any given space a place where students could drop off their feed or faculty could drop off their feed from where they're blogging. And so what happens is they come, they drop off their address, and wherever they're doing their work or doing their blogging, it could immediately be pulled into our system. And it could be sent somewhat intelligently to the blog, to the class blog, where all these different students were blogging in their own space. You have this aggregated space with all their posts, or it could be brought into the kind of general searchable archive. So what happens is it doesn't matter where you're blogging from or where you're doing your work. What we've created is a system that will allow us to ingest and syndicate this so we can make it visible and apparent. So it's kind of the small pieces loosely joined approach, which means do what you want with your own tools wherever you want, but we'll create a kind of engine that will not only give you a space to publish if you want to publish there, but will also allow us to take your stuff wherever you're doing it with that beautiful thing called RSS and pull it into our system and make it visible, make it searchable, and actually relate it to the class or to the issues you have. The real key behind this is syndication or RSS, and the other key is tags. One thing that's really nice about WordPress and WordPress Multi-User is that it gives you a specific feed for each tag. So say you tagged a blog post you did on your own site that's not on UMW Blogs. You tagged it, you know, Art History 101. Mm-hmm. Well, you could actually just feed all of your posts that are tagged with Art History 101 into your class blog for that course. So you can actually decide what you want to share and what you don't want to share. And what's nice is that when the stuff syndicates, when it syndicates in, it will syndicate in both the categories and the tags as well. So we'll have a kind of a nice system that was, you know, originally kind of like get your blog here, blog on UMW Blogs, mm-hmm. but it increasingly over time became we don't care where you blog, we don't care what you do. But if you do it and you want to be part of this kind of community of, you know, open thinking, teaching, and learning, well, then share your feed from wherever you're doing it. So it's kind of a system that has emerged and kind of evolved over time to be not simply like UMW's blogging system, mm-hmm. which it is in some ways, but it's also a kind of syndication bus. And this idea of the syndication bus comes from Brian Lamb quoting George Siemens about the idea of, why do we need to kind of control everything? Why shouldn't universities be thinking more, or just publishing in general be thinking more about helping to shape the flow of data and connect people between that data? And so we're thinking of it more of a kind of system of flow and syndication rather than a kind of system of get your blog here or else you can't blog within the University of Mary Washington. And the key to the whole thing, I think, has been the kind of openness. We don't dictate who blogs there. You don't have to sign a release form saying I'm blogging for a class. It's your space. You do with it what you want. And we've had great success because we've been relatively kind of non-prescriptive about how to use it and what it's particularly for. You know, we've allowed that to emerge.
Actually, that would be my first question. I mean, it sounds absolutely fascinating. And what I find particularly interesting is that this concept of inside the university and outside the university, in a way, that's going away a little bit. You know, you're not confined to what's happening in one space. There aren't any barriers. Now, there is still a barrier for people who are part of the institution, I guess, and then people who are not part of the institution. How are you dealing with openness in that sense? I mean, could I come and join your community if I'm not a student or faculty at the moment?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. Right now, we haven't been faced with that question because we don't have people saying, look, we want to join this. Can we share our feed and let our posts, even though we're not paying tuition here, show into your class aggregated blog? I think that would be something that faculty, I mean, we would have to say, okay, we allow anyone to see it pretty much. Anyone can comment on these spaces. But the idea of anyone could sharing, I guess technically they could share their feed. All they would need to go is go there and hand off their feed and put it within the kind of space where they're allowed to. We haven't had that issue, but it would be a really interesting one if it emerged. Like, say, we have a local person here in Fredericksburg who's not signed up for the class, who's not paying for the class, but wants to follow it and share. I don't see why that would be an issue, but that hasn't emerged yet, and it would be an interesting one to kind of see how faculty deal with or how even we could deal with. There's no question that we have the kind of resources to allow it to happen. I think the bigger question would be, would we let it happen? And sure. I would think, I don't know. It's a great question because it hasn't happened yet.
So yeah, I'm hoping that we will get some of the other case studies where people are dealing with those kind of things. I mean, it's a question we had to ask ourselves for this course, because we want to create a strong sense of community of the 20 or so people that are working on prototypes, and we've had a lot more interest already of people wanting to join the course. So we're trying to navigate how, obviously we're trying to be as open as possible, but when you let people feed into the course, there's also a lot more stuff that people have to read through. There's a lot more opinions that are coming up. There's less time to engage with each other in a small group. So you kind of, there's, on one side there's more information, on the other side there might be less community sense. Yep. That you can create. My other question would be, what are the faculty, what are the lecturers using the system for now mainly? Are they teaching courses on the system, and what kind of courses?
Well, yeah, I mean, right now we've had, over the course of a year, we've had 120 courses using UNW Blocks, which is pretty impressive.
Wow.
But we're a small liberal arts college, public, in the state of Virginia. And all of our classes, save maybe a couple, and when I mean a couple, I mean like two, are actually face-to-face, physical classrooms that meet together in real time, in real space, in a real room. So we're not an online educational institution. We've never really gone into that. I mean, I'd be excited to see what we could do with it if we were. But these blogs are really like a larger trace of the work the students are doing both in and out of class. They're doing a lot of their research and sharing it back with the rest of the class here. They're doing a lot of their presentations here. They're posting a lot of their projects, whether they be art projects. They're creating their own portfolios, whether it be writing portfolios or art portfolios. A lot of them are sharing like relevant resources from YouTube, from Flickr. I mean, a lot of people are using it for club sites. So, I mean, this has emerged without us even knowing, is that people are like, oh, this is a great way to have a club site to share announcements. So they aggregated all their club stuff together on their own. And so we have a site now dedicated to clubs. A lot of people are using it to share events that are going on. I think what's happening is people are saying, look, this is a really easy way to publish online and share it. Faculty found... Gotcha.
Okay, so unfortunately we got cut off here, but we're reconnected, and Jim was just speaking about how people were using this system as an easy platform for publishing information.
Yeah, and I mean, when I said with the clubs, I mean, we found it emerged that people were using it for club sites. People are using it for portfolios. People are using it just as a kind of personal journal. I mean, there's also, a pretty hefty use of it for course sites, which means faculty will set up, their syllabus, their calendar, et cetera, and then they'll put announcements in. But over time, students will post relevant resources for the class to this site, or they'll be posting their own research in their own site and re-aggregate it in. And that's one of the things we've really played with, is this idea of aggregation for course sites. A lot of times faculty will have every student in the class get their own blog. This will be their blog, if not for the class, or if they already have one, it will be their personal blog. And what they'll do is they'll allow these students to once again drop off the feed for their blog onto this course blog, so that the site will kind of be an aggregator site for all the different blogs for the students in the course. So as they're blogging their research, or as they're blogging their response to a reading, or as they're blogging something they found that's relevant to a class, it will immediately show up in their own space, obviously, their own blog, but republish within a course blog, so that, when students subscribe just to the course blog, say thus subscribe to the RSS feed, they'll be seeing everything everyone is posting in their own space immediately, and it will take them to the student's blog who's talking about it. So, I mean, really the way in which courses are thinking about this or imagining this is really through syndication, like allow people to do their own work in their own space. We'll just aggregate it into a kind of course blog that will capture this stuff, over time as it emerges. And, that's not to say that's the only way to do it. Students, faculty use it for group blogs. All students get into one blog and blog there together. And then we find ways to get that stuff out. So, I mean, there's so many ways to approach it. And what's fun about UNW Blogs is so many people have approached it in so many different ways. And there isn't, a week that goes by that I'm like, oh, that's another way to use this thing. I had no idea. I mean, one of the members of our group, Andy Rush, uses this as a kind of a media house. He brought broadcasts videos through it. He broadcasts podcasts through it. He kind of showcases the new media tools that are available now through it. So, I mean, it's a great, great engine for actually allowing all the tools that are out there and so loosely joined to be brought into a blog space. And, you know, that's what I really like about, you know, what we have right now is,
come here.
I mean, it's with embed code and with syndication and all that, we can take stuff from anywhere on the web, Flickr, YouTube, Blip TV, you name it, and kind of immediately republish it within your own space and within your own context. And that's really powerful. And I think the students and the faculty like that because there's no obstacle to kind of publishing. And I think that's really the key is we've made the threshold to publishing within a community so low that people just enjoy it. And I enjoy watching it, you know, and we're getting up to the point where we have hundreds of posts a day almost.
Wow.
It's quite phenomenal.
Sounds great. We're going to have a number of sessions where we can get into all kinds of detail on different aspects of this, and I'm really looking forward to those. And I just want to say thanks for spending a few minutes giving us some background that people can download and listen to before the course starts.
Thank you, Philip, and I'm sorry I ramble.
Thanks.